Welcome back to Risky Business. This is episode 7. Take it away, Craig.
We got college football week 5 and NFL week 4. D's got 7 plays for you this week, and I have 6. Should be a good week. We're coming off a really hot week, so give it a listen. We are recording this episode on September 25th, 2024. And please remember to always gamble responsibly. Go over the records from last week. A very good week for the fellas. D with a 6-1 banger. I had a 4-2, so still good. But yeah, 6-1's pretty nice. The overall records are looking good too. I'm at 14-8, and D is at 14-10. So both positive there.
So that would put me at a game back, right?
On the baseball standings. Scale. Yeah. Not that it's a competition or anything.
Now, as long as we're both, you know, above 500, that's what we're kind of aiming for. So
yeah, it was one of those weeks last week where it just felt like everything we placed was smart.
Turned to gold.
Everything. And sometimes you get weeks like that, and sometimes you get weeks that nothing happens the way you think it's going to happen. So it just depends.
Yeah, college was the read. I think either you talked me into it. I think at the end of the session last week about playing Tennessee, and both Tennessee and Miami kind of both started slow. Like Tennessee fumbled on their own 10, and Miami was letting USF hang around. We were out watching them, and then all of a sudden Oklahoma fumbled right back to Tennessee. We're like, oh yeah, we're covering. Oklahoma had a horrible offense.
Yeah, I think our read on Oklahoma was pretty accurate at the start of the year. They're not great.
No.
And Tennessee is a wagon. Tennessee is good. That's a very good road win for Tennessee.
Yeah. Oklahoma had everything to help them. They had game day. They had a huge crowd. They had a host and an SEC team. You know, welcome to the SEC party, and this is how you start off. As opposed to, like, Michigan inviting USC to the Big Ten. It's like, hey, we're going to run for 290 yards. Stop us.
Yeah. Very different. It's cool. This week, too, you're going to see more teams get introduced to the SEC. I think Texas is going to have a little easier welcome to the SEC than Oklahoma did. They are 38.5-point favorites over Mississippi State, who lost to Toledo a couple weeks ago. So
yeah,
Texas should have a little easier time easing into the SEC. But hit the bets, though. Army, can't go wrong.
Yeah, Army you want this week or just what we went over?
Yeah, hit review last week.
Yeah, Army, they just came out smoking them. The Noah Short kid, we'll talk about him this week, because don't worry, they're on the sheet again. Had a nice catch, and I said Army, you know, was going to run the ball over him, and I think we were at the zoo, we were looking at it, and it's like, oh, Army has a 50-yard passing touchdown.
Yeah, they were actually throwing the ball for a little bit. That's how you know if you're cooked.
Dude, wasn't it like 30-something at halftime, 28 to something?
Yeah, it was a no-sweat guarantee, which was nice.
That was the first one, and then I think Penn State played at, what, noon as well, or 3:30?
I think they were at 3:30. They ended up covering against Kent State. They covered the 49-point spread. I think the final in that game was 56-0, so it was a good read. Kent State sucks like we thought they did, and Penn State loves to run up the score when they can, so that one worked out.
Which, by the way, you know who else likes running up the score? Indiana.
There you go.
I think they're going to run it up. That I am going to play them this week, but yeah, another game, Northwestern Washington, we didn't get to watch a ton of, but Northwestern looked horrible.
Yeah, on the road at Washington, it's never easy for Big Ten schools to travel out to the West Coast and play. Yeah. That's something you always have to take into account when you're betting these games now that the Big Ten has a bunch of West Coast teams in it. The biggest game, though, of the week that nobody's talking about and the media is not talking about is Utah going to Oklahoma State and just pulling their pants down and whooping them all day with a backup quarterback?
Yeah, it wasn't close. The score will show that it was somewhat close at the end. Utah was, I mean, what, it came down to Oklahoma State scoring late and then trying an onside kick and all that. Utah dominated that whole game. The under hit, as we called.
And it hit because Cam Rising was out, which was a point we made last pod was...
He was questionable at the time, for sure.
Yeah, any little... it was said he was going to play, but any little ding or dent he gets in the game could knock him out, and then the under's going to hit, and he just straight up didn't even play to start the game, so the under was a lock from the get-go.
Yeah, so overall, good week. NFL, you had two wins, I had one. We both had one loss, though. Let's talk about it. Chargers, money line, I picked. I really thought they were going to go in Pittsburgh and win. I kind of underestimated Pitt, and at the same time, they had everybody get injured. So, move on. Yeah. If that's your 1L, I'm not too mad about it. I was pretty locked on the Packers, though.
That's a tough game for the Chargers. You can't account for injuries mid-game. Packers, though, you were right on them. I was a little skeptical with Malik Willis, but Malik Willis got his revenge game, looked great.
I think there's a quarterback controversy, bro.
There might be. It's going to be a toss-up for who starts this week. But, yeah, the Packers were three-point underdogs, and they won by 16 or something ridiculous. So, good, easy bet there. And my loss last week on the NFL was the Jets. The Patriots did not show up, and the Jets played to their full potential and routed them.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at this, you recovered pretty well going into the weekend. You were 0-1, and then you rattled off four wins.
Yes, it was. We got hot there on the weekend. I'll say my proudest bet of the week was taking the Panthers plus 5.5 at Vegas, and just going off of the read of when you make a change at quarterback in the NFL, a lot of times you see a spark and the team looks completely different than it did with said quarterback that they were using. And that played out to a T. I mean, Andy Dalton, the first quarterback at the time, first quarterback in the league to throw for 300 yards and three TDs in a game this year. And they just murdered the Raiders. And
Yeah, honestly,
put a smile on my face.
Yeah, I honestly didn't. I didn't think the Raiders just beat the Ravens. You figured, you know, they'll at least be able to beat the Panthers. It was never close. So,
yeah, and then my last play was the Lions. I thought it would be a big bounce-back spot for them against the Cardinals, and they did, in fact. It wasn't pretty, but they did, in fact, cover and dominate that game against the Cardinals.
They were by far the better team. It was a good read. The game was never really close. There was never a fear. They gave the ball back to Murray 1,000 times, and they couldn't even move the ball. Overall, good weeks. We continue to improve every week, so that means undefeated this week, correct?
I think so. That's where we're charting.
So let's get into the plays. Let's get back to college football on a Thursday, huh?
Oh, Army plays on Thursday?
We're doing a Thursday night game.
I think it's only right to start the play sheet out with Army.
Yeah, so I'm still stuck. Right now I'm leaning Army to cover at minus 13 on the road at Temple. Temple's not good, but they did just have not impressive. They had a decent win against Utah State, and their quarterback was responsible for like 5 touchdowns. He was a leading passer and rusher. He scored both, how does Harbaugh call it? George Patton by land, by sea or something?
I don't remember that Harbaughism, but. Oh.
Anyway, they, by the way, Colt Keith is bad at baseball right now. Anyway, Army, until it hurts me, I'm taking the Black Knights. They're dominating teams. I still don't think 13's enough. Navy beat Temple by more. I know Navy was home, but Army actually has a passing game, too, with that Noah Short kid. He's like a hybrid running back wide receiver, but everybody at Army is a hybrid. So we're taking Army to cover at minus 13 at minus 108. So that is on Thursday night, so you'll probably be listening to the pod Thursday morning. Make sure you get your plan if you want to take the Black Knights.
Yeah, I can't imagine at Temple's too big of a home field advantage, so you should be safe there.
Are you going to join the ride?
I am not. I'm going to jump ahead here to Big noon kickoff. We're going to take a look at Michigan hosting Minnesota. Michigan is 9.5-point favorites. I'm going to be taking Michigan to cover in this game. This is the first time I think I've taken Michigan to cover. I think it's the first time I'm playing Michigan this year. So let's hope they don't burn me. I just think with the performance that Michigan showed last week, Michigan showed a lot of grit, a lot of determination and heart. It just felt that whole game like Michigan wanted it more than USC. And they end up coming out on top. USC is probably a better team and wins that game probably 6 or 7 times out of 10. But Michigan wanted it more and just beat them up on the ground. And I think it was an identity game. Michigan got back to what they're good at, and which is running the ball and being physical. I think the O-line has improved every game this season. They started out and it was rough, but they're gelling, as you would expect. You got Orgy starting at quarterback now, adds a little bit to the run game. Still don't love his passing. Not going to say it's anything special, because it's not. But I think this Minnesota, this is as much a play it is about Michigan as it is Minnesota.
So I'm playing it as well, but the question is, Minnesota's hurt both of us already. Are they going to cover against our boys?
No. I'm going to right my wrongs with Minnesota here. They're not a good team. I picked them, was it last week? Yep. It was last
for
week.
For Iowa.
To cover against Iowa. And they got boat raced at home. They give up 31 points at home to Iowa. And Iowa ran all over them. And if you can't stop the run, the last place you want to be playing a football game is Ann Arbor. Yep. So I think Khalil Mullings is going to have a day. And I think it's not going to be pretty, but I think Michigan can win by double digits. So give me the Wolverines.
Yep, I'm taking Michigan as well. I know we're coming in off a high emotional win, but the running game will travel. It doesn't even have to travel, but the running game will be there. Like you said, they couldn't stop the run. And the only thing that scares me is if they try to open it up with Orgy, get him passing a little more, and it throws off the offense. So,
yeah, also it would be nice if Colston Loveland can play this week.
All roads, I think, are leaning towards him playing. Let's stay in the Big Ten. A Big Ten matchup, we got Maryland at Indiana. Kurt Cigarette, as I wrote here for you.
Thank you.
He looks to continue his dominance over bad big teams, starting with UCLA. Maryland's not good. They lost to MSU. I'm not convinced MSU is any good. They're going to open another can. Kurt runs up the score. He's got a point to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Also, I don't even know. I think it's Rourke. Curtis Rourke. He might actually be decent.
Yeah.
Here he has 1,000 passing yards, 8 TDs, no picks, and a QBR of 92.4, which is 4th best.
I think he's the best quarterback Indiana's had since Michael Penix Jr. during that COVID year.
And Penix, yeah. So I'm taking Indiana -7 at home. Noon game against Maryland. Maryland won't even get off the bus. 7's too little for Kurt Cigarette.
Yeah, Kurt Cigarette's a douchebag. And what do douchebags do? They run up the score. So, Indiana, I mean, I feel like every week on the play sheet, it's Army and Indiana.
Hey, until they hurt me.
Death taxes and those two.
Until they hurt me. And it doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon. I think we're both playing this next college game as well.
Yes, we go. I'm skipping the 3:30 slate. There's nothing on in the 3:30 slate that I wanted to touch this week. So we're jumping to the night slate. 7:30 night game in East Lansing. You got Ohio State and Michigan State. right now,
why did this game move? Do you know?
To a night game? Was it not a night game before?
It was 7, and it moved to 7:30.
Oh.
Do you know?
I have no clue. That's odd.
Does this help?
That half hour is a game changer. But no, the line is Ohio State by 23.5. This initially opened at 25. It's come down a little bit. And I wanted to play this game because it's going to be a fun game to watch. And I was looking at the total. And I, before I even looked at it, I like to think of what I would put it at. And I had it somewhere in the low 50s. And I pull up DraftKings, and it's sitting at 48.
Yeah, so I'm playing it as well. And reason being, OSU's offense is going to be there. Number two, either Childs will catch him off guard because he's a gunslinger and just throw it deep and get a long touchdown or two, which is, we just need MSU to get like 14. 14 points and we're chilling on this bet, I think.
Yeah. A 14 to 35 game hits the over.
And at the same time, Aiden Childs loves turnovers, so he could be getting some nice pick six, fumbles, whatever.
Yeah. So you know what you're going to get with Ohio State's offense? You're going to get points, points, points. They got dudes at the skill positions for days. They're going to put up points. Ohio State's for sure at minimum going to get to 35. They probably end at like 38 or maybe even a 40. So it's can Michigan State score 10 or 14 points? And I believe with Aiden Childs, like you said, he's the perfect quarterback for this overplay because he's either going to really help Ohio State and throw like a pick six or a crazy turnover to set them up, or he's just going to have a really good day and put up 24 points of his own. You know, that's a possibility, too. You just don't
If they put up 24, the game might actually be somewhat close.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get with Childs. He's very raw. So the last seven meetings in this matchup, OSU is 7-0 with the margin of victory going as follows. 45, 20, 24, 40, 49, 29, 35. Ohio State has absolutely dominated this game the last 7 years. So we'll see if Jonathan Smith can make it a little closer. But that's why I'm not touching the it would be a Michigan. The only way I would play the line is Michigan State, but just based on the history of this matchup.
Yeah, I still don't know what Michigan State is. So this game will tell us a lot about both teams. Ohio State's only been playing a preseason. This is Will Howard's first game on the road. And it's Jonathan Smith's first big game as a head coach in the Big Ten. So it's not one to play the cover. But definitely we can root for points in this game.
I think there'll be a lot of points in this game. So I really like this bet. Hopefully it hits. Last college game we want to talk about is the best college game. It might be the game of the year. We got Georgia traveling to Tuscaloosa for a matchup with the Tide.
Yeah, this is the only team in the last 3 years that's beat Georgia. So Alabama has a new coach. He's a good coach, but it's a new coach. Was it Kirby Smart not being able to coach against Saban? It almost feels that way. Because Smart got beat by Bama in 2021, and then two or three games later came back and dogged them in the Natty. Same teams, same players, same everything. And it's like, unless they played twice in the season, you take Nick Saban, the greatest of all time, to always win that matchup. And now, with Saban being gone, I feel like Kirby's one of the best coaches in the country, if not the best.
Yeah.
So the problem is, the last time we got to see each of them play, Bama had a bunch of turnovers, and Georgia struggled on the road against Kentucky. Bama had turnovers against USF. I think they had one game in between. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they played nobody. And the SEC, of course, everything's catered around the SEC. They both get a bye game going into the week, so they're all rested up. I'm staying away because there's nothing for me that's enticing. If anything, I'd take Bama to cover, if not win, just because it's in Tuscaloosa at night, which is one of the hardest stadiums to play at. But
so the line is Georgia -2. You touched on a good point with the coaching. It really does, and that's what I boil this down to. If I was going to play this game, I would be taking Georgia to cover. And the only reason is because Nick Saban's gone. I think Kirby Smart had a Nick Saban problem. and just couldn't get over the hump against him. But I think he will get over the hump against Kalen DeBoer. And also, another thing that's playing into this game is the revenge factor. Alabama ruined Georgia's season last year. Georgia had national championship aspirations last year.
Three-peat.
And they stumbled in the SEC championship game. And that was it for their season. So there's a revenge spot here for Georgia. We'll see if he can get by the non-Nick Saban Alabama team here. So it would be, and that's why there's nothing that jumps out at this game. But if it were me, I'd be taking Georgia to cover. But it's going to be a darn good game. Should be an absolute blast to watch.
I'm just going to enjoy it as a fan. And maybe this will give us insight into 2 or 3 weeks from now when Georgia plays at Texas and Bama hosts, who they host?
Tennessee.
Yeah. No, Bama goes to Tennessee. So maybe we'll learn something for that because now we've kind of seen Tennessee and Texas play in big games, but not these two yet. So we're going to stay away. We're going to enjoy it. Definitely have it on your television. Along, of course, with the OSU-MSU bet. You're rooting for points, obviously. But, yeah, I think that wraps up college football. Not as many plays this week. Went back to Old Faithful and then some Big Ten games. But
yep. So let's move to the NFL. I'm starting the week off with another Thursday night football play. What could go wrong? Thursday night football hurt me last week, and I'm going right back to it. So we got Cowboys at Giants to start the week off. Cowboys, this line was originally 5.5. Then it moved to 4.5, and I really loved it there. It's up to 6 now, but I'm still going to take it. So the Cowboys have this weird condition where whenever they play a bad team, they just beat the heck out of them. And then when they play a team that's solid and competent, they crumble. And this is going to be a classic example of Giants playing a bad team and just putting the hurt on them, and you think they're world beaters. And then everyone will talk about the Cowboys for a few weeks until they play another real team and get humbled again. So, i.e., the Ravens last week got absolutely dumpstered in that game. The final score doesn't show how close that game was. And I just think the Giants are an awful team. And the going on the road, I don't really value that a whole lot here. We've seen in recent years the Cowboys win by 14-plus points at MetLife Stadium with no problem. So I like the Cowboys to cover on Thursday Night Football.
Taking the road team again.
Road dogs.
No, they ain't road dogs.
Road favorites.
They're big favorites, but the road team hurt you last week. I don't think it'll hurt you this week. Cowboys need to get right, and they'll consider this right, as you said. They'll think that they're back.
That's another thing that played into this play was Cowboys coming off a loss. They have to win. Have to have a good performance.
Back-to-back.
Yep. Giants coming off of a surprising win. They're in a letdown spot. So
yeah. Cowboys are coming off of two straight losses, so kind of got embarrassed in both. Both of them at home, right? Were they in New Orleans?
No, they were at home for both. Yeah, so the Cowboys need to get right.
I like it. I'm going to stay away from it, but I like it. I see your logic there. 1 o'clock, I'm going to lose my mind, partially because I bet this team to be the number one seed. The Bengals. The Bengals, the stupid jungle team. Holy crap, they don't suck. I swear their offense is good. -3.5 at the Panthers. Not much to say. Andy Dalton's going to go back to being bad Saints. Dalton. Bengals aren't losing. They will be 1-3. They're going to blow out the Panthers. Sorry about it. If they don't.
This is the Andy Dalton Bowl.
Yeah, he's not winning.
Andy Dalton has the chance to do the funniest thing.
This is kind of similar to the Rams-Bears. Like, you just know who the better team is. So let's just segue into the Rams-Bears.
Also, this line moved. This was originally at the start of the week, like -6.5 Bengals. And after the Monday night game, it's dropped to -3.5. So you're getting a really good number here.
Yeah, and you figure their defense will get a stop.
That's the thing. That's the weird part about the Bengals is the defense is a sieve this year. I mean, Washington didn't punt.
Nope.
Neither did the Bengals, but.
Yeah, it was the first time since, like, what? Early 1900s?
Yeah, wasn't it like 1940?
Yeah.
First time, like, since 1940.
No punts or turnovers.
Yep.
But yeah, segue into the Rams. Bears are both playing it. Rams, this is, as you've said, looking like a trap game. But the Bears are favored by 3 against a team that just beat the Niners with a bunch of injuries. I don't care that the Niners had injuries. The Niners are a better team than the Rams, and the Rams beat them. Now, I know the Rams' backs were against the wall. The Bears are bad at football. They just played one of the worst teams in football in the Colts, and they lost to them. So, I don't have a ton to say about the Bears other than their O-line's terrible. Caleb Williams isn't good yet. Keenan Allen's probably not playing again from what I've seen, or is he?
I think Keenan Allen is trending to play, but that doesn't move the needle for me. It's the O-line. I mean, you can't fix an O-line in 1 week. I mean, they're horrendous. DeAndre Swift, 4th and goal on the inch-yard line against the Colts, and he loses 11 yards. You can't make this stuff up. Like, it's just terrible.
And it wasn't on that run. It wasn't his fault. Like,
yeah.
There's a replay going around right now of 4 guys on the line laying on the ground after 1 second when the ball gets hiked.
Yeah, it's just incompetence at the O-line position. And, you know, Caleb Williams hasn't looked great, obviously. I mean, he's not in a great situation. You can say he's got all these weapons and stuff, but when you don't have an O-line, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, in these games, in the NFL, it's all about winning in close, tight games. And I'm sure this will be close. Like, it has the Bears favored by 3, so I'm sure it'll be close. In close games, what do? You take the better coaches. You always take Andy Reid in a close game. What do you do here? You take Sean McVay, who is better than Matt Eberflus. I don't love Sean McVay. I don't. But he knows how to scheme. And even though they have everybody dead, you take the better coach and you take the better quarterback. Matthew Stafford's a proven winner. He won a Super Bowl. He's gone through controversy of having no wide receivers before. Like, come on.
Matt Eberflus is brain dead a lot of the time. McVay, did you see that picture of him rubbing the top of Kyle Shanahan's head after the Niners game this week?
Are they best buds?
No, he totally, like, sunned him. Like, nice job, son, type thing. He made him look like a little boy. It's going around social media. It's hilarious. But, yeah, he's a great coach. The only thing I told myself all week that I wasn't going to bet this game because it looks super trappy. I mean, how in the world are the Bears favored by 3 in this game? I would have, if I was setting this line, I would have set it at Rams by 3. Usually when the line looks too good to be true, it often is too good to be true, but we're going to walk right into it this week and hope the better team wins. I mean, the Bears are truly a terrible team. The Rams are a better team. They got injuries, but I think they'll be able to overcome it. Even if they lose by 1 or 2, you know, you're still covering. So, I don't know. This line is super weird, but the Rams are the better team. So, give me the Rams.
I like it.
The next one on the sheet is another 1 o'clock game. We got Eagles at the Bucks. Eagles are favored by 2 points. The total in this one's set at 45. I think this is a big bounce back spot for the Bucks. The Eagles, man, talk about, are they probably the weirdest team in the NFL this year so far?
There's a lot of weird teams. The Bengals are 0-3. The Ravens are 1-2. Like, Eagles, their coach gets in their way. The Bucks even. Bucks are weird. They just got blown out by the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Eagles, man, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week. They look good against the Packers. Then they choke hardcore on Monday Night Football at home against the Falcons. And then go down to New Orleans and they didn't play 3.5 quarters and still somehow won.
So I will say one thing. Their defense seems decent.
Yeah,
their offense spotted Green Bay 3 turnovers, and they kept it close to win. that Falcons game, other than that late drive, like they weren't, the coach choked that game. They were in position to win. All they had to do was run the ball. And I don't remember them giving up much to the Falcons. I think it was a low scoring game, was it not?
It was fairly low scoring.
And then last week, obviously, their defense kept them in it till the fourth quarter when Saquon finally broke free.
They could very well be 3-0 or 0-3. They're a super weird team. Saquon has been a great addition for them. He's the only reason they won that Saints game and the Packers game, really. Jalen Hurts has turned into a turnover machine, throwing picks in the red zone, being loose with the ball. This is a rematch of a playoff game last year. If you remember, the Eagles went down to Tampa and got their doors blown off as a part of their dramatic collapse at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I like getting the Bucs with 2 points to play here. I think the Bucs are a solid team. They're nothing special, but they're very solid, and they don't – every Bucs game is going to be – you can throw last week out the window. That was just a weird week. Every Bucs game is going to be close. They play good defense. Baker's he's a winner. He does whatever it takes to win type of guy. But I like getting plus two with the Bucs here, so I'm going to roll with the Bucs. And also, side note, a lot of injuries for the Eagles. You got A.J. Brown injured, Devontae Smith injured, and – Lane Johnson, I believe, also.
But have you seen Dallas Goedert?
Clearly, big fantasy waiver wire ad there, Dallas Goedert. But no, a lot of injuries for the Eagles, and the Bucs defense is good, so we will see.
Let's go to Sunday night, so we can listen to Chris Collinsworth glaze Josh Allen and Lamar.
Better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. So I've stayed away from this team, and all they've done all year is completely spank teams. The Bills, I'm tired of watching on the sidelines. I'm taking a money line. Ravens are favored 2.5 at home. I'm going to get burned, but I'm taking Josh Allen. I think he's a better quarterback than Lamar. I think he's more consistent than Lamar. Big game Lamar does not exist. Give me the Bills on the road, money line.
Bills to go 4-0?
Plus 110. They're making another statement this week.
Okay. Yeah, Lamar doesn't really show up in big games. Josh Allen has been a unit all season. I think it was actually a good thing that Stephon Diggs left town.
Yeah, he was a cancer. So, will it work in Houston? To be determined. I think they started well. But, yeah, Diggs was number one receiver on this team. And in Minnesota, I think he's having to learn to be a number two or three receiver in Houston. But, yeah, I didn't like Diggs on this team. He always, like, he's got, like, that crybaby face 24/7. I just can't stand it, so.
Josh Allen probably is enjoying his life a lot more this year.
And Sean McDermott, you know, he's a little edgy, you know, with his jokes and all that. But
big terrorist.
But yeah, I hate betting against a Harbaugh, but until the Bills get stopped, it's kind of like my same philosophy with Indiana and Army. Until these teams get stopped, I'm gonna keep riding them. So Bills, I'm joining the Bills Mafia for the week on Sunday Night Football.
Can we appreciate that you just compared the Bills to Indiana football and Army football? Let's go. All right, last game of the week, Monday Night Football, a huge one here in Detroit. Seahawks travel to the Lions. Lions are laying 3.5. And I was with the Lions last week, took them to cover, and they paid me well. I'm going against the Lions this week. I'm going to take the Seahawks to cover, and here's why. Sometimes in the NFL, just teams have other teams' numbers. A perfect example of this is just 2 weeks ago with the Chiefs and the Bengals. The Bengals, clearly this year, aren't a great team, but what they do, they should have beat the Chiefs, barring a late penalty and collapse. They played them super close, tight game, tighter than it probably should have been. This game, the last 2 years, has been played at Ford Field, right around this time, like week two time frame-ish. And the Lions, I believe, have been favored both times, and the Seahawks have come in and won outright. in very weird games. Like the one time the Lions didn't even make them punt. And the other time it's just crazy games, right? I think this is a team that just has the Lions number. So, you know, you can, another example of this is the Packers and the Niners, in the playoffs. There's been times where the Packers team is actually better than the Niners, but they still lose to them every single time because it's just, they can't get over the hump against that team. I think it's the same thing here. However, I do think the Lions win. I think they break through and win this game, but I think the Seahawks will cover. So give me the Seahawks at +3.5. I love Mike McDonald as their coach. I think he's going to have, this Lions offense is still struggling, hasn't really found its footing, and I think Mike McDonald's going to have some feisty game plan to keep the Lions off balance. A big thing to watch, though, in this game is if K-9 plays. If he is out, that hurts the Seahawks' chances of covering significantly.
Even if he's in, the Lions don't give up much yards on the ground anymore.
Yeah, but it is a, you know, anytime you have a key injury to a key player, keep an eye on it. Also, another side note, when I was doing research on this game, the Seahawks have won the last 6 meetings in this rivalry.
So, yeah, the injuries don't favor the Lions. The Lions kind of got banged up in Arizona. It's kind of like you're just riding it until the Lions learn to win as well. So, I don't hate it. I still don't know what I'm going to get from Seahawks or the Lions this year. You figure this is a spot where Seattle loses, especially because the Lions have lost the last 6, and I promise you Dan Campbell has brought that up to them. So,
and that's what I thought would happen. Like, they got embarrassed in that initial meeting with the Seahawks, didn't make them punt, and I thought, oh, for sure they're going to whoop them this year, or last year, and the Seahawks still came in and won. It's like, what the heck? Yeah. And that's where everyone was freaking out last year.
I think you can partially contribute that to the second game letdown, kind of like this year with the Bucks, because they played them week 2 after the Kansas City win. But you never know. They have won the last 6 for a reason. Old Pete Carroll ain't there no more. I'm going to stay away, but I can totally see the Lions winning close and the Seahawks, and it should make for a fun Monday night. There's 2 games again. Who's the other game?
It's like Titans and Dolphins. It's like the most radioactive matchup.
Oh, yeah, I remember looking at that and thinking, under whatever, under. I think it was like 36.
Can we go under 1 point?
But I am not playing that. Okay, hit up your picks real quick.
All right, so we got 3 in, got 2 in college, 4 in the NFL this week. Minnesota at Michigan. Give me Michigan to cover 9.5. OSU, MSU, we're both on this one at over 48.
We're on both of our... colleges, I'm on them both.
True. Cowboys, Giants, Thursday Night Football. Cowboys to cover -6. Give me the Rams to cover +3 against the Bears. Give me the Bucks to cover +2 against the Eagles. And give me the Seahawks to cover +3.5 against the Detroit Lions.
So this is our first week, and we don't prep together. This is our first week coming in and playing 3 of the same games. So it's either really good news or we're idiots. I'm taking Michigan as well, OSU as well, and the Rams as well. On top of that, I'm taking Army to cover, Indiana to cover, Bengals to cover, and the Bills money line at the Ravens. So I think I have 7 plays again this week. 4 in college, yes. 3 in the NFL. I didn't love all the NFL matchups. But plenty of plays for you guys. Last week I ended up actually parlaying mine together, so it worked out for me. If you love a couple, parlay them, or just play them all individually. If you play them all individually, what we are telling you, according to this bet tracker, if you play them individually, every single bet, the same amount of money, you're winning money on us both this year. 14-8 from you, 14-10 from me. We're not giving wild odds, so it's hanging around the same area. You will have been up, you're up money this year if you just bet every individual game. So,
But at the same point, you have your own brain. You have your own thoughts and your own opinions. Some of the plays you're going to like from us, some of them you're going to hate. So, you know, pick and choose. Pick and choose.
Well, that's too bad because we're going undefeated this week. Don't listen to him. We're going undefeated. No, he's right, though. We're just trying to give you more insight into the research we did. Obviously, pick what you want to pick. If it was that easy and we knew everything, then we'd be making a whole lot more money. And the books would be changing their philosophies. So, we're not experts. We're just here having a good time, and we love football a little too much. And decided, rather than just watch it together, let's talk about betting it, bet it, and watch it together. Because you could always use a little more football in your life. All right. With that, that's going to wrap it up this week. Have a good week. Couple Thursday plays for you guys, so make sure you get those in tonight. And have a good week.